Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 112, Thrill of the Chase.
Statements of Lisa Carmel regarding... No. Statement of Lisa Carmel regarding her involvement in a series of murders. Statement number 011311. 13th November 2011. Basira Hussein recording. Statement begins. Okay, I know how it sounds, but Murder Club wasn't supposed to be like this. It was just true crime stuff. My boyfriend, well, my ex-boyfriend, he used to call it my serial killer fan club, which I'll admit doesn't make it sound a lot better. But you've got to believe there was no way any of us would have chosen to get involved in anything like what's happening. Except, I guess, that we did, somehow. I'm not a violent person, not at all. My sisters used to play fight when we were kids, and I'd end up crying in the corner. But for some reason, true crime never had that effect on me. Or maybe it did, but I kind of liked it when I could control it. I remember when I first got the taste. I stumbled across a book on famous murders that somehow ended up in our school library. I read about Lizzie Borden, feeling the breath catch in my throat, and I put the book away quickly before literally running out of the library. I didn't sleep at all that night, but I still went back to that book the next day. It's always scared me, that's the thing. I could never get into horror. Ghosts and monsters always left me bored. Even thrillers never really got me in the same way. There was just a part of me that always knew it wasn't real. It never happened. But true crime, the awful stuff that humans do to one another, that got me. I used to think it was about facing the darkness and coming to terms with my fear, or somehow honouring the victims, but it's not. It's just that there's a part of me that gets an awful little buzz from it, from that shudder that goes through my body when I'm getting all the gory details of how someone died at the hands of a real-life human monster. Books, podcasts, documentaries, I went through all of them, and I still wanted more. And then I found Murder Club. Well, it's more that I founded Murder Club. Co-founded, at least. And Murder Club wasn't an official name or anything, it's just what we called it. We all met through one of those meetup websites. I forget which one. It was about 3 years ago and I'd just moved to London, so I tended to trawl a bunch of them to try and find things to do, places I might make some new friends. This one was advertised as the first meeting of a true crime discussion and reading group. And as you might have guessed by now, that was right up my street. We met up, had a great time discussing a book on Tilly Kilmeck, and we decided to make it a regular event. Pretty soon Murder Club was meeting up every other week. A few of us wanted to do it weekly, but Jamie was a slow reader and didn't think he could keep up. We'd occasionally all see each other outside the regular meetings if we were watching a new documentary together or something like that. Once we even went on a day trip to the True Crime Museum in Hastings. Let's see, at the moment it's me, Jamie Sanders, and Anya Kaleka, who we were all founding members. Then there's Ananya's wife Evelyn, Andrew Cochran, who I invited him from work, and Debbie Truss, who joined us about a year ago, though I don't remember where from. There used to be more, but people come and go. So, six of us at the moment. Well, I suppose three. Evelyn, Jamie, and Debbie are already dead, so I don't know how much you'd call them current members, but you know what I mean. I really don't know how it all happened. This jump from morbid book club to actual murder came so quickly. This time last week, I was finishing up a memoir by a retired FBI profiler, getting ready for Murder Club the next evening. Now I'm here trying to explain things to you in case the others get to me. Probably putting you in danger as well, to be honest, so sorry about that. That was the meeting where everything went wrong. It was at my flat. I technically only have a room, with the rest of the place shared between a rotating cast of whatever international students and burnouts my landlord rents to. But that night I had the flat mercifully to myself. I opened the windows to let out the smell of smoke, turned on a small space heater to help with the chill, and laid out a couple of bottles of wine that I bought special. Jamie turned up first, as usual. He has an obvious crush on me, but he's also about 10 years older than I am. Was 10 years older. And I just wasn't into him. Still, he was nice enough company, and we usually chat until the others arrive. Ananya and Evelyn were next, and then Debbie. Andrew was late, but it was because he'd been whiskey shopping, which he explained was apparently a thing. And he was in a sharing mood, so we managed to forgive him. We all had our little pre-club catch-up, talking about life and work and the state of the world. And we were just about to dive into the main discussion when there was another knock at the door. Oh. Oh, hey, Daisy.
Come on.
Kind of in the middle of something.
Well, finish up. Sims is back. Wants to talk to everyone.
What? Since when?
His flight got in a few hours ago.
And he called you?
No. Elias sent me to pick him up. Didn't want him grabbed again.
Again?
You come in?
Well, not yet. I've got to finish up here first. You go on ahead. Daisy?
Fine.
Okay, where was I? Right, okay. Statement continues. We were just about to dive into the main discussion when there was another knock at the door. There was a quick look of confusion that passed between us all, and my heart sank, assuming one of my flatmates had returned earlier than promised. I was dreading an awkward Lithuanian math student sitting in the corner with a glass of orange juice, staring at us as we self-consciously talked about decomposition rates and timelines. But those worries vanished as soon as Jamie opened the door. The person who stood on the other side of it was definitely not one of my flatmates. The first thing I noticed was the height. They were well over 6 foot, and the top of their head disappeared above the door. The second thing was the mask. Pure white polystyrene and cut into the rough shape of some kind of demon or wolf. The third thing I noticed was the knife. Jamie noticed it too, and leapt backwards just as the figure lunged towards him. Suddenly everything was moving. Everyone was on their feet, shouting as the figure lumbered clumsily inside, swinging wildly at everyone who got near. I dashed to the small kitchen and reached for a knife of my own, never taking my eyes off my target. It was a strange thing to watch. I would have expected everyone to be running. Evelyn and Debbie both had a clear path to the open door, but instead we were all just watching, keeping as much distance as possible, occasionally making a